SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Yes. We're back to Churchill Downs, and I imagine the next 45 minutes we will stay right here, and we'll go out to California and finish up with Rick Hammerly in a little bit. Right now, Nick Tamaro back with us after Tuesday's outstanding and well-received case analysis, and now we get the the full effect. That includes these late scratches, which certainly impacted plenty of action here. Code of Honor coming out today of the Juvenile, and then Polydream tomorrow, Nick. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Excellent. A delight to have your father visiting as well. We'll get a senior Tamaro visit.
Delighted to be on.
I'm shocked that this is your first Breeders' Cup.
This is actually my first Breeders' Cup, courtesy of my son Nick and his good friend Marshall Graham and 10 Strike Racing. So I'm delighted to be here.
Well,
fabulous.
Were you part of the Long on Value team? Were you in on the horse?
He was along for the ride with me.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I figured, right?
Oh, yeah.
Grade one winning owners.
That's tremendous.
Yeah.
That's tremendous.
It really is. It really
is. Leave the Canadian part out.
How did a good, the old-fashioned Italian end up out in the Southwest?
Well, way back, 1978, my brother had already moved here and...
To Houston.
Moved to Houston, rather. And called me and said, you just need to come on down here. So I gave it a shot, and the rest is history.
Unbelievable. I let me tell you, I was working for Cannon Mills, and I got a headhunter called me and wanted me to come to Coke Foods.
Okay.
Coca-Cola Foods,
yeah,
which is based in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Minute Maid, and at that time, Butternut Coffee, and all kinds of...
Oh, yeah.
I got to Hobby or Intercontinental. The sliding doors opened, and a blast of heat hit me in the face. I said, I literally was ready. I went to the office and had the interview, but I literally said, I'm not coming here. Who could live in this?
Well, you know what, Steve? Well, you don't have to scrape heat off a windshield.
That's it. And you don't have to shovel 18 inches of humidity.
That's right.
That's it. Yeah. That's a good line. 18 inches of humidity.
Yeah. None of that.
I love it. All right. Well, it's great to have you here. I hope you have a knockout. Listen, you can just ride his coattails if you
exactly
want.
Exactly. I just follow the leader.
Well, and how but you must have taught him plenty.
Tried to, but he's refined it tremendously.
That's very kind. Wouldn't have gotten into it if it wasn't for him. So
exactly.
Almost 30 years ago, we went to the fairgrounds. That was our first racetrack experience. I think it was 1990. And then Trinity Meadows opened about a year after
Trinity
that.
Trinity Meadows.
That was where we lived in Dallas.
Great
at the time,
track.
So.
Great old track. Yeah. I love that place.
Yeah.
And Maynard Downs.
I called the races at Maynard Downs for 2 days. Yep.
You've been there?
Yep. For the one
I
and
never,
only boys
I
at Maynard.
Never went. Well, that's one of the great trivia questions. Where was Steve Aspison's first career training
was
win?
Was it really?
Was it Maynard?
I believe it was it was either the biggest attendance for a Willie Nelson concert or a Grateful Dead concert, which Andy would know the Grateful Dead portion of it, but they put like 40,000 people around there. Cause it's basically just a big open field. And and Austin's such a live music city that they had a ton of concerts there.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, and of course, Pat Cummings
the
called.
The immortal Pat
right?
Cummings. He was the voice of Maynard Downs
the
when
voice
I filled
of
in for 2 days,
Downs.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to sign off and leave it to the experts.
All right, there we go.
Mr. Tamaro, we appreciate
just short
it.
Of it.
Is there audio tape of your race calls?
No, there's some Louisiana Downs calls on YouTube. That's all. No Mainer.
All right.
There should be.
We should.
One of the great injustices of the world. Yeah.
We got to play one. All
for
right.
Sure.
Let's quickly get a couple of Friday opinions,
and
then we'll dive into the meat of the weekend for Saturday. Some thoughts about today.
Yeah, as far as the Breeders' Cup races go today, obviously the turf condition is going to factor into the turf sprint and both the Juvenile and Juvenile Fillies turf. As far as the turf sprint goes, and we talked about this in the pace conversation on Tuesday, it does feel like they're really going to move in here, and with Shank 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 coming out, but Big Drink of Water coming in, there really is no no loss of any speed there. And I'm going to kind of focus my attention in here on Sergei Prokofiev and Pocket Dynamo, who come out of the same race to Cornwallis at Newmarket last month, where Pocket Dynamo got into a great bit of trouble being on the inside. I think his jockey was looking to see if he could maybe weave his way through on the rail, and that never panned out, where Sergei Prokofiev made this really breathtaking move from last to knife his way through the field and win going away. Aidan O'Brien won this race last year with a horse that was coming off of a synthetic race and really didn't have form that was as good as this. This is not a much tougher field by any means. So those are my attention there. I'm hoping that between Bulletin and the various members of the Wesley Ward Army and Big Drink of Water, we get a lot of pace in here. So that would set things up for an off-the-pace horse, no doubt.
The Juvenile Fillies turf has got one of the shortest favorites of the entire weekend.
It does, and deservedly so. Newspaper of Record looks like she'll be very, very tough to beat. I don't think the ground will give her any trouble. She's run on yielding turf courses in her first two starts. Should be forwardly placed. She's kind of a different type of Chad Brown horse in that she really is capable of being forwardly placed. Should find herself on the lead in here based on the way those two races have gone. I've heard a lot of chatter the last couple of days about East and people wondering maybe if East could show a little bit of speed from the outside. Jamie Spencer has used some enterprising tactics in the past on some of his horses that came over here. I'm going to play Newspaper of Record over a couple of long shots and one horse that probably won't be a terribly big price. I'm going to use Lily's Candle. I'm going to use Bellora, and I'm going to use Varenka underneath. And so if she leads the way in what would be a formful finish, at least on the win end, hopefully I can get a bit of a price underneath.
And I made that point in written form in my analysis. It is a fun race where you can pretty much play any combination of price horses. And there are, I'm glad you brought up Bellora. I mentioned it earlier when I had a couple of minutes before Marty McGee joined us. Norm Cassie's first starter, and you can rest assured that she'll run.
Oh, yeah.
And she'll be okay in here. I'll tell you the horse that's being completely overlooked is My Gal Betty.
Mm-hmm.
And you get Castellano, and she might have been really the one you wanted coming out of the Natalma. And she kind of wormed her way into my heart.
Yeah, I would use her over La Pelosa, to be honest. I thought La Pelosa, now having to go back over and come back, maybe wasn't the most ideal situation. And I did think that My Gal Betty ran just about as well. It was also her first start going long, so I think there's something to be gained from that. And the 13 post is probably not going to be as big a deal because she does have a little bit of tactical speed. So I'm hopeful that Castellano gets her a little bit forward out of the gate, and maybe she can win what should be a race where there really aren't a whole lot of late moves.
And there are all kinds of crazy horses. Summering, there's people who are not ready to give up on her.
Right.
You've got the Macam Bullet, who's going to, at the very least, prompt the pace, stretching out from her sprint efforts. And I made a case, or at least made people aware, that Richard Baltus was sweating bullets to get Lady Prance-a-Lot into this race.
Right, who ran a good race last time in the Surfer Girl. That race, of course, I think what everybody took away from it was that Summering did get into some traffic trouble in upper stretch. Michael Roney even made reference to it. Summering didn't really look like she had a whole lot of run. That was my concern. She really didn't quicken at all at any point, and though she may have gotten into traffic at the wrong time, it looks like she might be a horse that was a little bit ahead of the curve back in July, but now they've caught up to her.
I don't disagree at all. Let's run through the Juvenile Fillies, the Juvenile Turf, and the Juvenile.
You know, I wish I had a better opinion than the Juvenile Fillies. I'm not really dying to bet on Bellafina. I also am more or less against Serengeti Empress, who took advantage of a good inside last time when she went wire to wire. I thought that this was a situation where you could make a case for Vibrance getting a more patient ride in here, and maybe that might make the difference. She's going to have to improve, there's no doubt about it, but I'd rather have her maybe at 12 or 15 to 1 than some of these horses that really shouldn't offer much value. I think Restless Rider is a logical horse. I thought she ran well in the Alcibiades. That's a race in the past that has been productive in the Juvenile Fillies. This felt like a better running than some of the ones that maybe weren't as productive. And she's a horse who's, every dance she's danced, she's run well. And, you know, I think if you want to poke holes in the spinaway with her running second to Sipican Harbor, she made a slightly earlier move in a collapsed race. So you can't hold that against her. She's a horse that's got tactical speed. I think she'll be in a good position early. And I'm looking for a horse that's probably going to come from about mid-pack, because it does feel like the pace in here should be pretty forced.
The the thing about Restless Rider and that spinaway situation, the argument could be made, I think, that the two turns, it really was to her advantage, mm-hmm. and is really what, you know, what the long term interest anyway.
Right.
And also, I think Hernandez probably learned a lesson coming out of that spinaway about her.
I agree. I think she showed a lot more speed than he probably expected her to have in her next start. That was a solid pace, at least if you're a Timeform US user. She was right on top of it and really went on with it well. A horse that should get better with a little bit more distance, and one that certainly comes from a barn that has done its best work in Kentucky.
We get to the juvenile turf, Nick, and the circumstance and the way people are so quick to abandon outposted horses means I think we're going to get every bit of that 4-1 on Anthony Van Dyke. And he's 2 or 3 lengths better than anything in here. And we're going to worry about Ryan Moore finding his way around?
Yeah, hit it a bomb is what it reminds you of a little bit.
And what about, I mean, it was Garrett Gomez, but Pluck from the 13 hole with a fallen foe.
Right. Yeah, this is really not a big worry to me. It's not ideal, obviously, to lose ground on any turf course. But let me remind everybody of something. And this is either going to be very prescient or a non-issue altogether. When it rains a lot here, the inside part of the turf course is bad.
It gets boggy, and even though it's
pristine,
we've been talking about
that. That's still a worry. So
yep.
It might actually be an advantage to be 4 or 5 pass off the rail in this race at various parts of it. Now, it's also probably going to be somewhat uneven, just because not because of anything anybody did, but there are going to be parts that are firmer than others, and we just don't know what those are. So my point being, I wouldn't really allow a turf condition or concerns about a post to really sway me from this. He's a good horse. He comes out of a good Darley Dewhurst, where as it was written in the in many, many different publications, the horses that he's run into in his last 3 starts might be the 3 best 2-year-old colts in Europe.
Yeah.
So he's really faced some unbelievable competition. And at the same time, what we have over here is pretty average. Some Like It Hot Brown and 40 Under, I thought both ran well in the Pilgrim. I actually liked Some Like It Hot Brown better, given that he was a little bit closer to the pace. I felt like maybe on a boggy course with the tactical speed that he has, he might work his way into a pretty much ideal trip. You're going to get 15-1 or so. And I thought Line of Duty was the other horse I wanted to use. Mm. I know that the race itself didn't look like much when he won the Prix de Condé at Chanty, but Wonderment, who we talked about the other day, came right back and won his next start at Saint-Cloud, a Group 1, actually. So Line of Duty might be a horse ready to move forward, and I do think you can be pretty confident he's going to get a good trip from that post.
Uncle Benny is a horse that has to be on multi-tickets.
Uncle Benny has to be on multi-tickets. Jason Service, 8-24, stretching out turf horses that aren't making their debut. 292 ROI. This is a barn that just wins relentlessly. And as we said the other day, I'm taking the pro Jason Service approach this week, and I think he's got some very sneaky live horses.
What do you do with War of Will? The more I looked, the more I thought that he was a horse that you might want in your tries and supers.
I'll tell you, the mile's a hell of a lot better from than the mile in a 16th, and he did set a pretty legitimate pace last time before weakening late. I do think ultimately he's going to want to go a little bit shorter, might have to work a little too hard to get to the lead from the outside. It's really going to depend on how Uncle Benny's ridden out of the gate, maybe how much speed Much Better shows, and whether Some Like It Hot Brown really pushes the issue also. So if he has to work a little too hard early, that's my concern. But again, I mean, you're talking about a 15-1 shot or so, that you could certainly do a lot worse.
Let's close out the conversation for Friday with the Juvenile, and of course Code of Honor comes out, but it's very easy, depending on what your tick list was, very easy to substitute Standard Deviation in for Code of Honor.
Yeah, that's the approach I'm taking. I want an off-the-pace horse. I know the blinkers are going on. I'm hopeful that actually makes him rate even more. You certainly hear a lot about how much speed was in this race already, and you look at how many committed front runners there are. I think we're going to end up seeing a couple of future sprinters in this race, including Complexity, who only has one way to go, and if this thing heats up, I just want the horses that are running late. And that for me, was Code of Honor and Standard Deviation, and now is primarily Standard Deviation. It's a situation where Game Winner could easily end up being the best horse in this race, but I just don't think you really want him at 8-5 at this particular point in time. I do think he won kind of a controlled race last time, sitting right on top of a slower pace, and those are the kind of horses that you want to bet against next time. So I'm going to take Standard Deviation. I'm going to give consideration to Dueling, who I think will be pretty far back in the field and can make one run, and even wouldn't be totally against taking a horse like Signal Man, who, even though he's drawn so far outside, I could use him a little bit underneath because they're going to sprint away from him. He's probably going to drop over and save as much ground as Brian Hernandez can.
The oddball horses that I thought could find their way onto the bottom of exotic tickets, Mr. Money and Topper T.
Both of whom the Clockers apparently like very, very much, Topper T included, and Mr. Money as well, who stepped forward in a big way stretching out over this track, and this is a barn that certainly does its best work here, so I think you could do a lot worse for an underneath type two.
Before we go to Saturday, you got anything that we can hang a hat on in the marathon?
I like Dabster. I'm gonna take Bob Baffert horses that look like they fit this kind of a profile. I've been told that War Story is supposedly back with Irad Ortiz is poised for his best effort yet. So maybe get him onto the ticket a little bit as well.
Yeah, and I used both, but I had to put Honorable Duty on top. The Brendan Walsh
right.
Marathon connection. He's tremendous that way.
We'll see if maybe Big Dollar Bill's been sharpened up on the stretch out now from 8.5 furlongs. He's a horse that can run all day.
And he is one paced and you know could just chug along. And I included him too. I thought that was a very tricky finale.
It is. Yeah, it's a very tricky finale. I know the pick six ends in the juvenile. I believe the pick five does as well, but there's still a good wagering opportunity.
There's a late
there
pick
in the marathon.
Four that includes right. the marathon right. as the last leg. And it's actually a fun pick four because it doesn't include
Newspaper of Record.
Newspaper of Record. Exactly. All right, let's go to Saturday. Nick Tamaro with us. We've got about 10 minutes or so, Nick. Let's drive hard before we get to the Philly and Mare Sprint. Have you looked at the Cherokee Run?
Cherokee Run's a very good race. Actually, the Cherokee Run is very interesting. Super Sol has been working very well in company with Marley's Freedom and looks like a pretty interesting horse in there. There's actually a little bit of a dearth of early speed in that race. I was kind of hoping that they might move a little bit because I was dying to get my old buddy Still Having Fun back in the mix, but I don't know if they're going to go quite fast enough for him. But yeah, really interesting race. It's obviously about Audible coming back, but I'm not in a big rush to bet Audible at 2-1. He's a horse that probably should win this race with his best effort, but I'm not dying there at all to get to the windows. I thought that one of the other interesting horses in the field was Mr. Freeze, who ran that sensational West Virginia Derby and then came back with a total flop in the Pennsylvania Derby. We've seen a lot of Dale Roman's horses get back here and run really differently than they had maybe in their most recent starts or ever, and so that was enough for me to maybe take a chance there too.
Excellent. Let's go into the Cup action, and one of the big themes happens to be particularly Phillies outposted. That includes Marley's Freedom in the 13 hole, Monomoy Girl in the Distaff, and so forth. Azira, a horse we're going to talk about from the 14 in the Philly and Mare Turf. What are we doing in this bulky field Philly and Mare Sprint?
I'm going to try and be overly clever and take off the pace horses who I feel like will really get the benefit of the way this race should be run. There's a ton of speed signed up on paper, and it looks like speed that only has one way to go. Sell Court, a number of others, Mia Mischief, Anonymity. If this race doesn't have one of the faster paces of any race this weekend, I'll be very, very surprised. So I'm going to fool around with horses like Highway Star, to a slightly lesser extent, Shamrock Rose, and Marley's Freedom will be the main focus of my attention. She just looks like she's going to get a great setup. She was probably a horse who was going to want to make a 3-4 wide move anyway, and you don't worry about outside posts in races where all the speed's drawn inside of you. So it doesn't look like the post will hurt her at all, and I would imagine that if things set up on the front end for her, then she's going to be pretty tough.
We should know, of course, coming off of three turf races on Friday, what the turf course is producing, and the first Saturday turf race, the sprint, and this is really fun, and we've had more fun talking about this race maybe than anything because of the presence of Jason Service and Petey Miller and Christophe Clement. They've got half the field.
They do, and they're certainly well represented, no doubt about it. They've got a lot of good horses in this race. I'll tell you this much. If this is a World of Trouble Lost Treasure finish, provided, God willing, I have any money going into it, you'll see me move up the standings in the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge quite a bit. And my thought there is that World of Trouble, as we talked about on Tuesday, looks like he's significantly faster than these horses early. I really think the Conquest Tsunami would have to go almost on a suicide mission to keep up with him early. That might be the only goal with Conquest Tsunami, maybe to set the table ultimately for Stormy Liberal or even Richard's Boy. I still think World of Trouble's faster. For what it's worth, Dirty, who he beat last time, is running in the second race today at Aqueduct. Not that that'll be a great indicator indicator. It's not as if World of Trouble struggled with him at all, but he is coming out of that same race. So I think World of Trouble is going to go wire to wire. This will be interesting because I think there's also a chance that we're running on a different turf course tomorrow than we are today. I think it could be a situation where you have a little bit of drying, maybe the paths change. We'll see, but either way, I think that World of Trouble is a horse that's quick enough to get clear, and if he's able to put some separation on this field, he'll be very, very tough. Lost Treasure has really not missed any engagements. This will be his fourth start in 5 weeks. And going back to the Prix de la Baie, where he was 20-1, this is a horse that if he had gotten a path to run through, he would have won the Prix de la Baie going away. He ran into a blind switch with about 100 yards to go and had to be taken in hand by Wayne Lorden and ended up fifth beaten a length. That was a bunched finish, of course, as a lot of 5 furlong races are. Aidan O'Brien has been very sneaky with synthetic to turf horses coming over, including last year's turf sprint winner, A Declaration of Peace. And this is a horse that has always been highly regarded. This just might be his opportunity to get the right trip. He's going to get some pace to run at. And he's a horse that was a little mysterious that he found his way into the field, given that he lacks a whole lot of group credentials. So I'm wondering if maybe this was one where Aidan O'Brien needed a little favor for taking him over, and so he got it and got him in.
You also get him reunited with Ryan Moore. They won at the Curra back in the summer, and so there is some hidden value.
Yes.
There.
Mm-hmm.
And I somebody asked me about him. I didn't know what to make of him. I asked Nick Luck the other day I said what is this horse. He says I don't know. He says I don't know what to make of him. Nick was kind of intrigued or mystified by his presence. I tell you, the horse that is not getting any attention and who I'm going to end up picking on top is Vision Perfect.
Yeah, we talked about him the other day. You know, he might be the kind of horse that finds himself in the right position in a race where they'll outsprint him a little bit early. He was a one-run closer prior to the reincarnation with Jason Service. And he's a horse who's really fired every single time. I think the only worry that I have is that maybe he gets a little shuffled out with them moving a little bit to his outside. I'm not overly concerned with it, though. And I think at 15-1, he's a horse you probably want to include if you have the budget in a multi-race play to get in at least as a backup.
He, of the horses drawn on the inside half of the field, he is the horse that is going to be not necessarily second. If World of Trouble is setting the pace, he's not going to be worse than third or fourth.
Right. Yeah, he should be in the pocket right behind there, and Javier Castellano's obviously very comfortable there. So, argument for me. I think all three Jason Service horses could win, to be honest with you. I don't have a big lean against Rainbow Air. So it's a situation where he's pretty well represented.
The Dirt Mile ended up with a storyline, Nick, that more or less was pinning City of Light versus Catalina Cruiser. The closer we've gotten to the race, the more cases I'm hearing for oddballs.
Yeah, well, everybody doesn't want to settle on two horses anymore, right? I mean, it's not fun.
What's wrong
fun
with settling on two horses?
It's not fun, I guess, but I would say that, you know, for me, it is a two-horse race. I think Firenze Fire deserves some consideration as a potential upsetter. I could hear a case for Giant Expectations as maybe having a little bit of an outside shot. The race really goes through those two. I would imagine that City of Light will get a forward position being inside. Catalina Cruiser should get a good trip as well. I have one sort of off-the-wall horse to include in there. Maybe he can't run better than third. Isotherm.
You're the third person that's... Oh! Look at this! A little Hazleton on the mark, and we say hello to Scott Hazleton.
How are you?
Where have you been hiding all week?
I just got into town. I'm coming in fresh. I got in late last night.
Couldn't even shave?
This is the new look, Steve.
Like,
this is 2018.
All right.
People don't shave anymore.
I'm sorry. I'll be shaving every morning for the rest of my life.
There you go.
And I'm.
You get up really early, too.
That's true.
So you have time.
That's true. I sometimes shave twice. Welcome. Scott Hazleton pops in out of nowhere. I love it. It's nice that you're allowed on the grounds now.
It's nice to be here at the Breeders' Cup.
I saw some daily racing forms around here, too, so things are changing.
There we go. All right.
Contraband.
You're not the first person to bring up Isotherm.
Maybe not for much more than a piece, but the horse that was probably better at a mile and moved into a very hot pace last time against two much better horses, so training well. Why not at 20?
Why not? And Matt Shearer is not as lucky as Bob Edwards,
he's
but
a meteorologist.
He's
so this whole weather thing is working out perfectly.
It all fell into his lap.
Yeah.
You got a dirt mile idea?
It's Catalina Cruiser.
That's it. West Coast bias.
Yeah.
West Coast
bias. No, West Coast bias. Best horse bias.
Ooh,
are you kidding me?
All right.
See, they sold out City of Light because he went to New York and ran one time.
Maybe.
I think that Catalina Cruz has become a better horse at this point.
I
mean, City of Light, I mean, I think that he's obviously been disappointing in his last few, but the Cruiser's the one. I mean, I think we stopped talking after that race. I mean, there's no conversation going into the Classic, I think, with Sadler being 0-4 in the Breeders' Cup after the Dirt Mile.
There we go. All right. Nick, Filly and Mare Turf.
You know, I think it mainly goes through the two Chads and Wild Illusion. I thought that I'm more interested in betting Four Star Crook and Sister
Charlie. Which two Chads? Which two Chads?
the principals, I guess. Four Star Crook and Sister Charlie, who I think are both going to get some pace to run at, courtesy of some stable mates of theirs in this this five-horse squadron that he's bringing in. Wild Illusion looked interesting enough to me as a horse that could be just a little bit off the pace, may get the jump on both Sister Charlie and Four Star Crook, given that they're both horses that want to make late moves. I couldn't really settle for anybody else. I thought that Azira was a questionable horse coming from that far outside post, and figured that it would be one of those two.
Scott, Filly and Mare Turf?
Wild Illusion. I mean, I think that her win on Arc Day was fantastic, but the two Chad horses, I mean, are obviously good enough to win this race. But, you know, Wild Illusion, from the fact that she's been able to make the progression from last year at the age of two to now what she's doing here at the age of three, and the quickness in which Charlie Appleby and Godolphin, you know, said, hey, we are going to the Breeders' Cup. I mean, it was minutes after her run on Arc Day that they were pointing in this direction. So she's got a beautiful post. Godolphin, William Buick, they're having a fantastic year, and Appleby's the man. He's great. So I think she'll be good value too. I think that the Chad horses will take some pressure off of her parimutuelly speaking, and maybe can get close to, you know, 3-1, 7-2.
Can Azira be as high as on the podium?
Yeah. I don't know if she can win. I'm skeptical of whether she can work out enough of a trip from out there and whether she's really good enough. I think she's capable of it, but I think she's facing two very solid American horses and one very good European as well, who just might be a little too much.
Well, it is Dermot Weld and Frankie Dettori. Not a bad jockey-trainer combo. Let's get to the sprint and the mile. We'll do the main track and turf special distance, and a lot of people having to readjust with Poly Dream out. Sprint.
I'm going to bet Limousine Liberal. I'm not going to give it up now. I don't see any reason to. I'm hopeful that Promise Is Fulfilled gets hooked by Distinctive B, who's really going to have to run a lot faster in order to prompt that pace. But Limousine Liberal is a horse that has always been at his best at Churchill. Obviously, his trouble last time was pretty exposed, being that everyone was watching Keeneland, everyone saw it. I don't really want to bet him necessarily because of that. So my hope is that there is enough of a pace up front, and that sets the table. I'm not going to be surprised if Promise Is Fulfilled goes wire to wire. And I'm just going to take a little bit of an anti-Imperial Hint stance, given that I think some of the paces he's been on top of in his best races have been a little on the slower side, and Promises Fulfilled might be just a little too quick.
Yeah, I'm going against Imperial Hints as well. I think, and again, don't paint me as the California guy.
Oh, boy.
Roy H. has come around. His race last time out was huge. And if you look at this, you know, he's following the same pattern that he did last year. I think he's sitting on another big race. I think that things will swing his way. I think that the post position helps him. He's going to be able to see what develops down to his inside. Limousine Liberal, how can you argue against him? I just worry that maybe 7 furlongs is more his distance. That's the problem that I have with him, if there is to be a problem. And I do think Promise Is Fulfilled is a top three horse at the very least. I mean, you know, Dale Rome has said this all along. He's going for a championship. He's looking to pick up that title. He could have run in the Dirt Mile and gone the quote easier way, if you want to even call
good
it
point.
That. But
that's a good point.
He's here, and they're trying to secure top sprinter of 2018.
Now, either wins or compromises Imperial Hint terribly.
Yeah, no doubt. He'll have an impact no matter what.
Exactly. The mile.
Yeah, I liked Poly Dream, to be honest. So that's an unfortunate scratch. I think that there are some interesting horses at prices that you can use now. I'm hopeful that they, especially with the outside shot that Oscar Performance comes out, I think Analyze It becomes a very interesting horse in this race. I thought that Johnny Velasquez kind of went through the motions last time at Keeneland, kept him wide and outside, didn't really have much of a shot. This is a pretty quick horse. He's quick enough to get to the front, and if we've seen any lean towards speed horses on a wet turf course, then I think this is one that you definitely want to try.
He'll go to the lead for sure. I think he'll be tough. There's no
question
about
it. I think he'll go to the lead even if Oscar performance is in there.
Yeah, and I get, you know what? Just call me the California guy. Next Shares, his last two races have been huge.
Yeah. Next Shares is not going to sneak up on anybody now. At first, when the fields were sort of assembling, he felt like an outsider. And then the more people look, they realize, wait a minute, what's wrong with this horse?
He was a New York horse originally.
I think that he's just been a different horse since he's been able to be here in Kentucky. And Baltus did the right thing; just left him here, shipped him to Kentucky Downs. You know, got that confidence builder under his belt and has stayed here. You know, he's been in the cooler weather. He's been training over at Keeneland. He showed that he can run over, you know, the off-turf courses he did when he sprung that upset in the Shadwell, you know, just a month ago on October 6th, just shy of a month ago. So I think that he's a horse that you absolutely have to look at. And Tyler Gaffalione's going good right now. I mean, this is a kid that, you know, he goes good when he's
a Gulfstream. Won a Keeneland riding title.
Exactly. That's a big deal. That's a big deal in the progression of his career.
Distaff, which it hasn't gotten enough appreciation as just a fascinating wagering of possibility, and just as an interesting race.
Yeah, it really has. I actually was joking with Travis Stone that he, in his interview with the Thoroughbred Daily News, they asked him what race he was most excited about, and he said the Distaff. It told him he's the only one. That's at least saying that, but it isn't. It's a huge matchup. And I think the question is not necessarily just whether Abel Tasman and Monomoy Girl, who's going to be the better of the two, but which Abel Tasman are we dealing with? You know, there were shades of Arrowgate in the San Diego handicap in that Abel Tasman performance last time that makes me very, very nervous. I still think that on her best against everybody else's best, she can't possibly lose this race. I'm hopeful that she bounces back. I've always been a big fan. I think she's clearly the horse to beat on her best day. And I don't need to bet Monomoy Girl at 5-2 or so trying to come from the outside when I thought that maybe she was looking like she could be getting a little bit on the downward slide maybe at the end of that cotillion.
As Gary Young would say,
hit me with it.
A couple of minutes past midnight.
I mean, I think Abel Tasman bounces back. I do. I don't see any reason that she's not going to. You know, if anybody's going to get a horse to turn around off of that just terrible effort, it's Bob Baffert.
For sure.
And speaking of Gary Young, I was having a conversation with him the other day about, you know, about her and the way that she's looked, because he's obviously seen her training, you know, in the mornings, and he said that she's looked better than she did going into the Zenyatta. And he also asked me, you know, when's the last time a horse dropped the ball in the way that she did it at 1-9 and then came back and won a Breeders' Cup. And I don't think you can find one. He referenced Midnight Loot, but Midnight Loot's race before his second sprint, I believe it was, was months before, and Baffert had all that time to work it out. But
it was like, you know, the Pat O'Brien or something.
It was the Bing or the Pat O'Brien.
Yeah, it was like Del Mar.
But like you said, if she's at her best, she's the best filly in this race. There's no question about it. So
great.
I'll go Abel Tasman.
Which of the oddball fillies at prices can hit the board?
She won't be a huge price, but Blue Prize can definitely hit the board.
Oh,
she
no doubt.
Win too. Champagne Problems is my sort of price.
I thought so too. She's like your alternate Blue Prize.
Right, exactly. She's going to sit the rail the whole way and should get a little bit of pace to run at. She should be 15-1 or so. She can get in there.
LaForce too.
LaForce. That's what I was just going to say. Paddy Gallagher's good with shipping horses. I think he's in the 30-40% range when he ships horses out of California, and she's run some big figs. You look at her Thoroughgraph figures, she's putting them together. I mean,
on
paper, it looks like she's just filling out slots that are going to be filled out in weak Grade One races, 5-6 horse fields. But those are better races than
she was running well as the year progressed. She was making
she ran well to Unique Bella and Del Mar, especially
very much. Do not discount. And the late double, the turf, and the classic Nick.
I mean, my one shot against Enable is Waldgeist, who she obviously handled last time. I mentioned to you the other day when we were talking about it, she's not getting nearly enough credit for the race that she ran in the Arc. I thought actually that this year's Arc was every bit as impressive, if not more, than last year's.
Well, especially knowing she was short.
She was short. It was second off the layoff. She was close to a hot pace. The pace completely collapsed. She held on. I thought she faced a good field. I thought she ran great. Waldgeist got into a little bit of trouble at the wrong time. He might be a horse with a slightly cleaner trip that can make the difference. And you know, I'm going to use both, obviously. He's going to be a better price, and I'm hopeful that things may break his way.
You know who gave me a push on a horse in here is our boy Mig. He likes Channel Maker, and I think he's onto something there. I mean, I think that this horse has come around getting the opportunity to stretch out. Not Channel Maker. What am I talking about? Let me regroup as I'm looking through the past performances. The speed horse. I'm making myself
Glorious Empire. Empire.
Glorious Empire. That's who I'm. For Jimmy Lawrence. And you know, here's a horse that turn him loose out on the front end. He's got confidence. I mean, you've seen the development in a quick amount of time with a horse that, for whatever reason, with his pedigree, was being run at distances that he was not bred for.
It was not bred for. He was a bleeder. He had all kinds of things. Chuck Lawrence has got him figured out. He's an interesting horse. And on a soft turf, the horse out there loping along on the front end, it can be tough to reel in.
Yeah, let's go like Bucks Boy, huh? Turn him loose like Bucks Boy. Shane Settles.
Intercontinental.
Right. The whole issue with that horse is Huntinghorn. If Huntinghorn is ridden for any pace from the outside, he's Glorious Empire has no shot. But if he doesn't, then he does.
James Scully, who is terrific with this kind of a horse. Arklow.
Run up Arklow.
Could chunk a, maybe get a chunk late.
Yeah, 30, he's, it's going to be a similar turf course to the one he won on Derby Day last year in 2017. So he's not going to be hurt by a wet turf course. This is a barn that obviously you always have to give a ton of respect.
Let's wrap it up with a big flurry. Rick Hammerly is standing by. In fact, Nick, say hello to Rick.
Hammer, how's it going?
Great, Nick. Always listening to you. You're the best out there when it comes to Kentucky and big days. So let's hear.
Oh, I appreciate it. High praise.
In the classic.
Here we are, classic, Nick.
I wish I had a better opinion. You know what? I'm gonna take some off the pace horses in here and fool around with them in the try. And even if they run underneath horses that make sense, hopefully I can hit. And primarily that's gonna be Gunavera, Pavel, and Axelrod. I know they're all big prices. I know they don't make sense necessarily from the win end. But if two of those three can get in the money, even underneath West Coast, McKinsey, or Accelerate, then I'll make money. I think that all three have the right kind of profile running style-wise. I think the pace is going to be strong in here. I think there's pace coming from inside, middle, and outside, and I want to bet against Accelerate. And I really don't know what to make of Bob Baffert's two horses. I've always loved West Coast. I feel like he's going to run a lot better than he did last time, but he has to. You know, if he runs the same kind of race, he's going to get nothing. West Coast best races are better than anybody's best races in here. It's just a question of if he's ready for it.
I worry that his best days are behind him, honestly.
That's the concern, right?
That's the biggest worry. I think McKinsey, we've yet to see that. And listening to Bob, how many times has he said, this was my Derby horse? And this was at the same time where he had a Triple Crown winner in his barn. I mean, if I'm picking between the two, I'm looking for the upside of McKinsey versus trying to recapture glory with West Coast. But I like Mendelsohn in here. I think that this is a horse...
You and Nick Luck?
...that's run some, you know, good races. That race in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, I'm not sure what Ryan Moore was trying to do hanging with that pace. But he stuck around, and his races before that, the one-turn race, he's not a one-turn horse. He's a two-turn horse. That's the bottom line. And the one-turn in the mile and a quarter Jockey Club Gold Cup, too, I think, works against him. I mean, again, here's a horse that, if he's anywhere near what he was able to do on World Cup night in the UAE Derby, he's going to be fantastic. I just hope that Ryan doesn't think and have it in his mind that he has to hustle this horse away from there like he has been doing. He needs to be a little bit more patient and allow this horse to obviously get himself in the race, sit just off the pace, but not get crazy. I mean, if you're going to try to run with the Baffert speed in this race, I think you're compromising yourself. So I hope that Ryan has learned something with this horse in these dirt races as of late.
You see how he feathered in the international feed from Dubai?
A little bit, yeah.
The UAE
yeah, it was
Derby.
Like he was on it or something.
Exactly.
It's the Derby.
He thought about Derby, too.
It's the Derby.
Where's Zoe? Where's Zoe? We need Zoe in here. And
that's very well done.
Who has the lead into the first turn?
I think Mendelsohn will have the lead into the first turn. I think that they feel like Mendelsohn is at his best on the lead, and I'm not certain that that's not the case. Because I think, and he ran huge last time. Yeah. He really did. He ran huge in the Travers, too. So I think he's a horse that is at his best when he's on the lead. I think that's where they'll try and go. I don't think that necessarily hurts him, though. You know, I think that he's a horse that's quick enough to get clear, and if you can, then you probably try it.
Right.
Well, we've managed to break clear somehow and still have 5 or 6 minutes left to talk to Rick Hammerly. Nick, can't thank you enough, of course. And TAM1215. Best of luck in the BCBC.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. Anytime.
We want to see that name on the leaderboard. Scott Hazelton pops up. The only thing missing was Mig. Where you and Mig? They're an entry.
I missed the Mig. I haven't seen him. I've been talking to him this week, but we missed the Mig. I'm sure he's probably listening. He's a regular listener, right?
I think so. It's hard to know. He's out there in the country, and
they have electricity out there, right?
Well, they got electricity. They got the chicken coop. He's out there getting eggs, little blue eggs that
who knows what he's doing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Tending to his garden.
Chasing bears on country roads. It's unbelievable. Scott, thanks so much.
Anytime.
Unbelievable.
Anytime.
Scott Hazelton and Nick Tamaro. Not the pairing you expected, but the pairing you got. Absolutely. And we'll close out the morning and the week, and Mr. Tamaro as well. He's got hands. He's got hands like Wilt Chamberlain over there. My God, Hammer, take us home, will you? My tongue's hanging out.
Yeah, let's do it. I wish we were sitting there. Jimmy's in New York having stone crabs. I'm here in California with my sunglasses on, and you're representing. So let's rock. One quick thing, if you're looking for an alternative today, we got $2 million guaranteed today and tomorrow in our Rainbow Six, and a giveaway on Sunday if it rolls. So
that's right. That's right.
Fast and firm out here. So can't go through all of them. Since you were just talking about the classic, everyone seems to come on and trying to find a way to beat Accelerate, and I get that because that's what you try and do is beat the favorites. But I'm not real high on a lot of these horses in here. I've seen Accelerate in front of me all year long, not worried about the 14. I think the field's going to string out quick. It'll give him time to ease on over. He's kind of a little push button. He has a couple of moves during the race going a mile and a quarter. And Rosario fits him good. I think he's definitely the horse to beat. And I think as the way people are talking, maybe the price is even going to lift up a little bit. But he's going to end a few of my pick fours and pick fives. Mind Your Biscuits, just a trier. Like him to be there a little bit. You know, I didn't like Mendelsohn at the beginning of the year. I think he's really grown in. I think the mile and a quarter, and I agree, think he's going to be on the lead. Maybe he can slow him down and be there in the stretch. And then Roaring Lion at 20-1. I haven't heard a whole lot of talk about him, but he's only done everything he can over there on the turf. So, you know, why not? Gosden's done it before. He did it with Raven Pass here in 2008. So I like the price on him. But today, I like a horse, and once again, our California horses are favored in most of the dirt races. I think it's great, and, you know, our job is to try and find something to beat them if you're betting. So if I want to go to the juvenile today quick, you know, Game Winner is great. Probably the favorite with Complexity. You know, I like a horse. I really haven't heard anybody say anything about it. I've heard a lot of talk about dueling underneath. But the horse, Hollendorfer's other horse, Gunmetal Gray, I think he's a sleeper. I think he's sneaky. I think he's going to get 15-1 on him. He ran second to, Game Winner last time. And I think he's improving. And I really look for Gunmetal Gray to be there. So that's a horse in the dirt race that runs today that I really like. What else you want to talk about?
Hit a couple of spots. Which of the California players in the dirt mile, City of Light or Catalina Cruiser?
I mean, Catalina Cruiser is another one. Everyone's trying to find a way to beat him. He's on the outside again. If it was a two turns, obviously we'd worry going that one turn, that long run down the backstretch. He's going to be very tough. Ferenc Fire. I forget who mentioned it, John Service. I think he's going to have some real live horses today. Ferenc Fire loves the mile. He's the perfect horse for this race, so I can see those two running good. And City of Light will just be sitting there quietly and looking to run him down. I see those three for sure. The Distaff. Let's go back to the Distaff.
Yeah.
You know, the questions of Abel Tasman, and I think it might have been Nick that brought up a parallel with Airgate when there's, you know, if they're not 100% going in, maybe there's something to look at. We mentioned earlier in the week, I like the only German bred today. La Force is in there. She's run some powerful races, second to some champions, Unique Bella, Abel Tasman here, albeit in small fields. I think there's going to be a lot of speed in here. I think if she can throw in that same look closing kick, I think she's going to be right there. I really like La Force. Not too high on the three-year-olds, to tell you the truth. I like Midnight Bijou for style better than the outside filly. And Blue Prize. The more I keep trying to throw her out, the more I can't. She runs a race every single time. So I'm looking for a little bit of an upset in there. Back, another California favorite, Roy H., looking to repeat. I wasn't really there until about 3 weeks ago when I saw his race here. Peter knows what he's doing now. He didn't need as much to get him ready. He's going to be tough to beat. But you got the other two from last year, Imperial Hen, who got beat a short distance last year. Has he gotten that much better? Maybe. But I'll be having Imperial Hint and Limousine Liberal, who loves that track, and Roy H. just filling out a couple of pick fours or pick threes for me today as well. What else? We got so much stuff going on here. I was upset at the Polydream thing. I really had spent a lot of time on that recently. Zeroed into zero it into her. But when she's out there, I like One Master and I Can Fly to be there. And
nice.
Scott just brought up Nick Shears. I hadn't heard his name mentioned the whole time. I mean, all he did was win on an off-turf at Keeneland there not too long ago.
Yep.
By many. And I know Richard Baltus has been talking high on this horse all year, and he finally let loose. And you know what? He stayed there. He's part of the element there in Kentucky, and that's a nice post. I see no reason why Nick Shears can't be one of our best horses.
Agreed.
U.S. horses.
Agreed.
So,
Hammer.
Anyway.
Thanks.
Great to talk to you, and have a great Breeders' Cup.
You too. I appreciate it. We'll check in next week, and I want to thank Hammer and Scott Hazleton and Nick Tamaro, Scott Shapiro, Ed DeRosa, James Scully, Johnny D, and Marty McGee and everybody this week. Go get them, folks. Best of luck. It's opening day at Aqueduct. There's good action. Next 3 days, Hammer mentioned they're going to have the jackpot distribution probably on Sunday. You've also today got the last of the Stronach Pick Fives. Thanks so much. I hope you've enjoyed the week. We will talk to you Monday. Recap. Breeders' Cup 2018.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sportsform Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sportsform delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the sun on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.